Welcome back to Raw Vegan Lens. I still want to say Raw Nomadic Lens. You know what? I'm going to leave that. That's twice I've started over because I was saying Raw Nomadic Lens. Paging Dr. Freud. Raw Vegan Lens. I'm not a nomad right now. I just wanted to touch base because it is the second day of water fasting. I'm feeling good. And my toothache it's not an ache. I did still oil pull today with coconut oil, but when I woke up, I could tell a difference. Like, there's just nothing going on there. Now, I know I'm not in the clear by any stretch of the imagination, because when I bite down, there's still a little soreness. And I want to do this water fast for, I'd say, 8 days. 8 seems to be a really good number for me. For some reason, I've had to stop at 8 days a number of times. I haven't water fasted, though, since September. So it's been a while. It's like 10 months. But it's going well. I've been really busy. There's never enough hours in the day to do everything that I want to get done. But I got a lot done today. And I had to tell you, too, that I feel like Gabe's backpedaling a little bit on the Ireland plan. Because... And this is what happens. Like, in the moment, he's like, yes, 100%. Well, he doesn't say 100%, but he's like, on board. And then, like, a couple days later, he's like, well, let's just see, you know. And then it starts to fade away for him, I'm afraid. That is a bummer. Because when I'm on board, I'm on board. And by the way, I am aware that in the last podcast, I said that when I get too strict, that's when things fall apart. When I get too strict with myself about my food and stuff. But and what is water fasting? No food. I can't explain it, but water fasting is easier than grape fasting. It's easier than watermelon fasting. Sometimes it's easier than raw. Sometimes I just need a break from making those decisions. And I needed to straighten out my blood sugar. And I know it works for that because I've done it before. It took 8 days to get it below 100. When I first found out that I was diabetic back in May of 2023. So I have fasted to get it down since then once before. I know it works. In fact, if you want to learn more about that, Dr. Alan Goldhammer at the True North Health Clinic in Santa Rosa, California, has always said that's the fastest way to level out your blood sugar is to water fast. It's the quickest way. So I know that from personal experience. So here we go. And it's also pain is a powerful motivator. And I wasn't having a ton of pain with the tooth, but enough to where I was like, I got to take care of this. I said to Gabe this morning, I'm not going to Dr. Link with this because he'll say something bad. Like, my worst fear would be like root canal because I'm just not down for that. But I just don't want him working on it when there is even a possibility that I can heal this myself. And everything else heals when I fast. So why wouldn't a tooth? I've never done this before, but let's see. I mean, it already feels better. So I was oil pulling quite a bit the last week, and that was because it was bothering me. And so I would, you know, try to get it under control with the oil pulling. And today, I mean, I did it just because I thought, well, don't get cocky this morning, you know, just because you didn't have any pain when you woke up. So I just went ahead and did it as precaution, but I haven't felt the need to do it again today. So. And I had been doing it like at least an hour a day. So yeah, I'm going to, this was the case also. Pain was a powerful motivator when I fasted to get rid of my uterine fibroids. I was in a lot of pain. So it worked then, it worked for that. I've done that twice for uterine fibroids. So let's just see how this goes. I say it's progress at this point. And, then I'll, you know, after 8 days, the eighth day, the ninth day would be my birthday, August 3rd. So I'm going to be in Iowa with family. I have to break this fast correctly. It's going to be a bit of a challenge to navigate that. It almost makes me want to push right through and keep fasting, because it's somehow easier to say to people, actually, I'm fasting, I'm healing something, than it is like, oh, I'm raw right now. Or I shouldn't say right now. That's part of the problem. I'm raw, period. But I'll be traveling and visiting family, and that is always really tricky for me. So especially in Iowa, for some reason, when I'm around, yeah, family back home, it's a little tougher for me. But let's just see, like, let me formulate a game plan here. I was thinking about the last time I was out with family, and I kind of just like threw in the towel because we were at Portillo's. Gabe's dad, it was his choice where we went. And if you don't know what Portillo's is, it's like kind of just a Chicago classic fast food place that's typical Chicago fast food. Like, well, he wanted hot dogs, like real Chicago hot dogs, which only have certain toppings on them. And where he lives in the senior community, they do them wrong, he says, because they put ketchup on them. And real Chicago hot dogs don't have ketchup. Like, if you go to the ballpark, yeah, it's like a crime if you put ketchup on a hot dog at the ballpark. So anyway, he wanted to, why are we talking about hot dogs on this raw vegan podcast? I don't know. But we're talking about navigating tricky situations. So yeah, they have like Polish sausages and burgers, and it's that kind of place. And it always, when I throw in the towel in a situation like that, it's just out of ease, because there is always something there. I always say, even Dairy Queen has bananas. There's always a good choice there. It's just a matter of whether I want to see it. I've always said that. And in my mind, I was thinking, well, not here. Like, I looked at the salads and it's like, nah. But then what did I have? Like, a couple of days later, I had greens with cherry tomatoes, and I think that was it in there. And yeah, that was it. It was like the simplest salad I've ever had. I could have done greens and tomatoes at Portillo's. Those ingredients are there. They have them. They have to. They have to use them in a lot of different things. So there you go. Even there, I could have been raw. All right, that's really all I have to say today. I wanted to check in, and I warned you guys I might be like just popping in to let you know I'm still on track and, you know, be accountable with you guys. I've never really done that, and I've been very inconsistent, as you know, about when I post a new episode. So this is a good thing. And very easy to be consistent about, in theory, on paper. Let's see how it goes, because I'm feeling very frustrated with my ADHD self today, because I'm not finding enough hours in the day to do everything I need to do, like I said. And I fear that I'm just wasting my time. I'm fearing that I'm wasting my time, and the phrase "in futile searches" comes to mind, but that's a line from a movie called My Life with Michael Keaton, where the doctor tells him, you haven't got long, don't waste your time in futile searches. But it resonates, because I'm always working on something now. I went from not having enough time because I was working at the airport to not having enough time because I'm my own boss. And I have a lot of different streams of income that I'm doing at the same time. And I'm not a very nice boss to myself. I never am. And I feel like my dog and Gabe, they're not getting the best of me right now. And I'm typing something because I'm looking up this poem by Robert Service that haunts me. I first read it in an ADHD book, the first ADHD book I ever read, which was probably Driven to Distraction, I think. So it's called The Men That Don't Fit In by Robert W. Service. And it used to really piss me off, but I kept it laminated in my wallet so that I stayed in school, so that I finished things. And one day in school, I was so irritated. This was years and years ago, but I was irritated with the fact that I was going to have to drop another math class. I did end up doing all the math in the end. Eventually, during COVID, I finished it. By the way, it took me many, many years to finish my associate's degree. That's the only degree I have is an associate's, which is 2 years. But I wanted to protect my 4.0, my really nice GPA, and I wanted to not have student loan debt once I had paid mine off. So that kept me from going back to school for a long time. And of course, neither of those things happened. I didn't go into debt. I got all scholarships. And this, you know, the last couple times I went back, and I, my GPA didn't suffer. Even when I took statistics, which was the hardest class I've ever taken, I spent more time with my tutors than I did with Gabe and Jebby. But it was during the pandemic, and I don't know, it was a perfect time to do that. I always wondered what it was like to go to school and just go to school and not work at the same time, and I finally got to find out. But years and years ago, when I was frustrated that I was going to have to drop yet another math class because I wasn't going to be able to get a good grade, and I was really stressed, I went to this poem again, and then I started reading about Robert Service, and it turned out he couldn't graduate college because he couldn't pass his, I think it was algebra, might have been geometry. And it was then that I realized he's writing about himself. He's not writing in criticism about other people who have these traits. He's writing about himself. But just because he didn't graduate from college, I really don't feel it held him back. The man died on the French Riviera, you know? I mean, I'm not saying his life was perfect, but I am saying that he had a full life, and that it shed, doing my research on him, shed a lot of light on this poem that had upset me for a long time and pissed me off. And then I realized, oh, it's him, and it's me, and it's a lot of us. The men that don't fit in. There's a race of men that don't fit in, a race that can't stay still. So they break the hearts of kith and kin, and they roam the world at will. They range the field, and they rove the flood, and they climb the mountain's crest. For theirs is the curse of the gypsy blood, and they don't know how to rest. If they just went straight, they might go far. They are strong and brave and true. But they're always tired of the things that are, and they want the strange and new. They say, could I find my proper groove, what a deep mark I would make. So they chop and change, and each fresh move is only a fresh mistake. And each forgets, as he strips and runs, with a brilliant fitful pace, it's the steady, quiet, plodding ones who win in the lifelong race. And each forgets that his youth has fled, forgets that his prime is past, till he stands one day with a hope that's dead in the glare of the truth at last. He has failed. He has failed. He has missed his chance. He has just done things by half. Life's been a jolly good joke on him, and now is the time to laugh. Ha ha! He's one of the legion lost. He was never meant to win. He's a rolling stone, and it's bread in the bone. He's a man who won't fit in. You can see why that would be upsetting. It's from The Spell of the Yukon and other verses in 1911. I know that's me. And once I read it to a therapist, and she was so upset. She's like, that's not you. That's not you at all. I'm like, yes, it is. Which is interesting. I feel it in my bones. It is deep, deep in me. This is, yeah, so relatable. And if it's relatable for you too, big hugs to you. At the end of the day, what can we do but just our best and try to keep things in balance? I'm working very hard in a very different way now, sitting for hours and hours writing these envelopes and doing TikTok shop, and it's all tiring in just a completely different way than the airport was. And that's just how I go. I go from one exhausting thing to another because I'm always starting over, because staying in one place doing the same thing month after month, year after year, bores me to tears to the point where it's painful. And I think about people like Peter Schenkman, who has a podcast and a book and is famously ADHD, but has a good support system. And let's see, his stuff is called Faster Than Normal, his book and his podcast. It's really good. But he's one of those guys that, I built this company and I sold it. I built this company and I sold it. And I hear women like that too. I have never built something I could sold. And today I feel very frustrated about that, because when I do a business, I am the business. If you ever saw the TV show Roseanne, there's a scene in one of the episodes where they're trying to get a loan. And Dan says, "How about I sell the drywall business?" And the loan officer says to him, "Dan, you are the drywall business." That's me. Every time I start a business, like, you know, whether I was a as a hypnotherapist, I had two practices 10 years apart. You know, I had book businesses. I had two big book businesses during the pandemic while I was finishing up school. I've had a handful of businesses, but yeah, it's always a one-man show, and it's not something that I can sell. Not that that's a big goal of mine or anything. I just envy the people that's the way their brain works. The other people with ADHD that build something and then can really profit from it. For me, it's just like, well, I just have to set that aside because I can't stand it anymore, or something has happened with animal communication. That was something I really, really loved. I was having some fatigue with it. Therapists call it compassion fatigue. And then it just got much worse because I had a few clients who just could not stop contacting me. And I've talked about this before, but like upwards of 60 times a day sometimes. And, I just wanted it out. I felt like it ruined it for me. And I blamed myself, because I always do, and said I couldn't set proper boundaries with people. And if I could, that wouldn't have happened. But at the same time, you know, after Devin died, I just didn't have it in me to, I just didn't have it in me. And I think also the fact that we did some TikToks together and that she was my big cheerleader with TikTok. It's bittersweet. It's just, there's so much of her in that. And I thank God that she made a bunch of TikToks herself and really got into it. And that I was able to support her in that, because those videos are such a treasure. I guess I'm the only one in the family that looks at them. Like, I absolutely love them, but it's too hard for others right now. But I look forward to the time when they are a comfort to them, because they're just such a treasure. So I also have at the base of all the TikTok stuff, the memory of when I had the fever dreams when I had COVID, and the first night it was like if social media was hell, and I was in it like for hours and hours and hours and hours, just stuck in that social media hell. It was awful. It was so toxic. And I just wonder, you know, obviously not all of it is. More than anything, I share animal videos on TikTok, but there is a certain amount of toxicity to it. And I think for me, it's that I can't turn it off. Like, I can't go in for just a couple minutes. And I guess I am able to more now, because I have so much work to do. But in the past, I've been able to zone out on that for way too long. And it is known to be extremely addictive for people with ADHD, because it's so fast-paced and so many different topics, and just, yeah, it's like candy for ADHD people. But I want to keep this on an up note, on a high note, and keep this just a short little pop-in so that you guys don't get tired of these short little pop-ins because they've turned into something else. Thank you for being here today. Thanks for popping in with me, and I'll keep you posted, and I'll talk to you tomorrow when I've completed another day of water fasting. Love you guys.